And welcome back to Out of the Woods. Sarah McQuaid is here with us live in the studio this week. And she just did that one that I didn't realize that Ewan McCall had written.
Yeah. Apparently, the story goes that Peggy Seeger needed a two-minute love song for a competition she was entering. And she phoned up Ewan McCall and said, I need a two-minute love song. Don't know what to do. And he said, let me see if I can come up with something. And he quickly wrote The First Time Ever I Saw Your Face and sang it down the phone to her. And there's your cat again. That was me, not the cat. Apparently that was just composed pretty much kind of on the spot and sung down the phone and became a massive hit when Roberta Flack recorded it on the soundtrack of Play Misty for Me. And then loads of other people followed. I think it's about one of the most perfect love songs ever written. I just love it.
I prefer your version.
Oh, thank you.
Roberta Flack.
Oh, thank you. That's very kind of you to say.
It sounds much more like an English love song.
Oh.
When you do it. Who have been some of your influences? I hear maybe a little June Tabor in there. That could just be your voice.
Yeah. Nick Drake.
Oh, yeah.
In terms of the way I like to think of what I do with the guitar as being almost like a duet for guitar and voice rather than just the guitar providing the accompaniment. I like to think of the guitar really being an equal partner with the voice. And I guess the first person I really heard, well, one of the first people I really heard doing that was Nick Drake on his albums. It's just the guitar is so important in what he does. Obviously, you know, Joni Mitchell. When I was a teenager, I listened to Joni Mitchell incessantly, and so that kind of goes without saying. But I've been lucky to be kind of exposed to lots of different genres of music. I sang with the children's choir when I was little, called the Chicago Children's Choir, which was a really good children's choir, and we toured internationally. I mean, that was kind of my introduction to the professional side of music, was touring with the choir. We used to go off on 10-day tours and have a schedule that makes my schedule look easy, you know, because we'd have, like, in one day we could have, like, a couple of school performances, you know, for school kids, and then we might have a local television taping, and then, you know, we'd have an evening concert, and then we'd be all parceled out to host families, and then get up early in the morning and get on the bus and do it all again. And so I've always listened to lots of different stuff. Vocally, I think the person I sort of try hardest to emulate would be Ella Fitzgerald. I love the effortlessness of her singing, and I try very, very hard. I make a massive effort to try and achieve that level of effortlessness. I'm trying to think. Martin, have I got any other influences that I should rattle off?
Tony Iommi, you're a huge fan.
No, I'm not. He's telling lies. That's my wonderful manager and road manager, driver, touring sound engineer, Martin Stansbury, I should mention some real life sort of immediate influences as well. I started working with Martin through a wonderful woman called Zoe, who I met when I first moved to Cornwall. And it was Zoe who really got me started as a songwriter. Prior to meeting Zoe and moving to Cornwall, I'd written an occasional song, but I kind of would kind of wait for inspiration to strike, with the result that my first album, When Two Lovers Meet, had one of my own songs on it, and the rest was mostly traditional. And then my second album, I Won't Go Home Till Morning, was mostly American folk music and had two of my own songs on it. And then in between the second and third solo album, I moved to Cornwall, and I met a woman called Zoe because our kids were going to the same tiny little school in West Cornwall, only about between 20 and 30 kids at any one time, ranging in age from 4 to 11 in the entire school. So you got to know the other parents, and I got to know Zoe, and it was only after I got to be friends with her that I discovered that she was actually a former pop star. She had a massive hit single back in 1991 with a song that she wrote and performed on Top of the Pops and all those sorts of shows. And it was called Sunshine on a Rainy Day, and it went to number 5 in the UK folk chart. UK folk chart. What am I saying? It went to number 5 in the UK pop chart and stayed in the top 10 for 16 Weeks, I think, was used on a Volkswagen commercial. It was also a big dance hit. It was the kind of get everybody out on the dance floor number at the end of the night at all the discos and, you know, at weddings and things like that. Huge hit. And she and I started writing songs together. And we recorded an album of songs that we had co-written under the band name Mama, which was produced and engineered by Martin. She'd been working with Martin on a whole bunch of different projects. Initially, he was actually a band member in a band that she'd put together, and then she discovered that he was also a very talented recording engineer, and so he was working with her in recording and production. And then I discovered that he was wonderful for live sound as well. And it was working with Zoe that really taught me that what I wanted to do was write songs, and that I didn't have to wait for inspiration to strike, that I could actually... And I don't know why I ever thought I did have to wait, because I knew all about Carole King and the Brill Building and you know, all the wonderful kind of Tin Pan Alley songwriters and the great American songbook people like Rodgers and Hart and, you know, the George and Ira Gershwin and people like that. And so I knew that songwriting was something you could sit down and make an effort to do. But I had never actually done it that way prior to working with Zoe. And she also taught me a lot about song structure. She taught me that a song didn't necessarily have to have, you know, a couple of verses and a middle, late, and a chorus, you know, that it, as long as there was a structure of some kind, that a song could have any sort of structure. So she was a massive influence on the whole course of my career.
Excellent. Sarah McQuaid's with us here on Out of the Woods. And I think she's going to play a couple more for us before she has to hit the road. So what you got next?
Well, I've just been talking about Zoe and the Mama album, so I may as well play one of the songs from that album. It's going to be interesting for me to play this here, because normally when I do this live, there's a nifty kind of echo effect on the chorus that Martin manages from the soundboard, and he's kind of I like to say he's basically a band member who operates from behind the soundboard. But we can't do that today, so here it is, minus interesting special effects. It's the title track of the album that Zoe and I made together, which got great reviews, by the way. We were described by one of the reviewers as two pagan goddesses channeling the ghost of Jim Morrison via 60s acid folk. I always like that one. So this is the title track. It's called Crow, Coyote, Buffalo. I go out in the light of morning. I go out in the light of day. Let the desert sky surround me. Let the desert have its way. We'll call hello in the white light, in the dry grass grow coyote buffalo. Hello. Oh. I am a lizard on the ground. In your eyes there is a vision. In your ears there is a sound. We call hello in the white light, in the dry grass grow coyote buffalo. Hello. Thank you. I am a lizard on the ground. In your eyes there is a vision. Oh, in your ears there is a sound. Will you go? Hello. In the white light, in the dry grass, crow a coyote, buffalo. Hello. See the crow fly, coyote call. Oh, feel the ground shake, buffalo runs, the desert's
Sarah McQuaid, here on Out of the Woods. Very nice, and I'm trying to picture the special effects.
Oh, you basically, when I do the hello, it goes, hello, hello, there's a little echo, hello, 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 like I'm shouting at the mountains. It's really cool. It's wonderful when it happens. See. All the audience members kind of look around and go, where'd that come from? It's all down to Martin.
You never catch him asleep at the wheel.
Never. Oh, well, great. Actually, he has been known to fall asleep. He fell asleep at the same. He fell asleep behind the soundboard at the same concert where I was violently ill on stage. I had some kind of a stomach bug or something like that. It was kind of a disastrous concert, wasn't it? And they keep inviting me back, you know. I don't know why. It was really terrible. I could feel, you know how that feeling when the sweat starts breaking out on your forehead and you know, right. you're just about to be sick. And so I realized that it was happening, and I had to, I think I just about got to the end of the song and then said, excuse me, and ran out. And luckily there was a toilet right near the stage, but I think the audience members would have been able to hear what was going on. And I thought I managed to get myself together, and you know, I could hear kind of, you know, muted conversation going on. Everybody was wondering, what should we do? Should we leave? Should we stay? And I came back out and I said, I think I'm okay now. And I started doing another song, and then it happened again. And I don't think I quite made it to the bathroom that time. And oh my God, it was terrible. It was terrible. That's the only really, really major, you know, kind of illness disaster that's happened to me on stage, apart from the time when I had no voice and I thought my voice would magically appear when I started singing. You have this idea, oh, it'll be all right on the night, you know, kind of thing, and the adrenaline will save you. And I had my herbal tea and honey and everything that I was drinking, and I thought, yeah, when I get on stage, I'll have a voice, I'll be able to sing. And no, it didn't happen. Just croaked my way through a concert. So never again. I know now that if I have no voice, I just have to cancel the show. I learned my lesson. And Martin told me not to do that show. He did tell me, he said, you have no voice, Sarah, you can't sing. And I said, but I can't cancel the show. You know, I have to go on, you know, the show must go on. And no, it shouldn't have.
Should just have an all guitar show.
Yeah. Well, I wish I could do that. I don't have that many guitar instrumental pieces. I have a couple. I'm gradually getting more and you know, starting to do more instrumentally with the guitar, but I'm still pretty dependent on my voice at the moment.
Well, folks, Sarah McQuaid's here, and we should probably tell folks who haven't heard you before where your website is and what we have coming up for shows. Once we're back over there.
Absolutely. My website is sarahmcquaid.com, and that's S-A-R-A-H mcquaid.com. And on that, there's loads of live video. You can listen to all my albums in their entirety. And there's lists of tour dates and, you know, and all sorts, photos, everything. I'm also on Facebook at Sarah McQuaid Music. I'm on Twitter at Sarah McQuaid. I'm on Instagram at Sarah McQuaid Music. And I'm on YouTube at Sarah McQuaid. So all those places. The life of a musician has become so busy these days when you have to keep social media updated. I think it must have been wonderfully simple in the old days when all you had to do was get up and sing and play, you know. Now you've got to keep posting, and then like that, if you lose, you know, access to the internet for a day or so, it's like a disaster. It's like there's been an earthquake or something like that. You know, people go, you haven't posted in, you know, the last couple of hours. You know, is everything all right?
Right.
Well, you too. You have to keep up.
You were very excited to find Wi-Fi.
I was so excited to find. I'd got nearly excited about getting Wi-Fi here as I got excited about finding laundry at our last laundry stop. You know, things were getting pretty desperate. I was looking at having to wear the same pair of socks twice. You know, and yeah, it's really good when you get an opportunity to do laundry on the road, and if you have laundry and Wi-Fi in the same place, well, that's just amazing.
The amazing world of Sarah McQuaid. We were talking about what a mammoth tour you've had, and we mentioned that you are going back over to the UK very soon, and by the time folks hear this, you'll be where are you at? Southampton and Croydon and Cambridge and Cardigan and Buxton and Halifax and then Stirling. Do you have any really exciting shows coming up that you want to let folks know about specifically?
Not specifically. They're all good. You know, they're all, I feel really lucky that I get to play in lots of different types of venues. I do everything from theaters and art centers to, you know, folk clubs to, house concerts over here I do, and libraries over here I do a lot. Never realized before that there are all these libraries that have music programs as well, and they're really terrific because a lot of them run on like a Tuesday or a Wednesday, you know, and so
sure, yeah.
So you can fill in the dates that a lot of people don't want to put on concerts. But no, all the tour dates are listed on the website, and this is going to be the last major tour that I do before I take a long break from music next year. Not from music, from touring. Next year I'll do festivals. In fact, I'll be able to do a bunch of festivals that I normally can't do because I'm already touring when they're happening. So, for example, I've just been booked to play at a festival in Spain on the Spanish island of Ibiza called the Costa del Folk in April. So I'm really excited about that. And I'll still do some local shows. But I want to take some time off from the road, partly to spend more time with my family, and partly also to be able to get a chance to record and to write and record a new album. And I also want to do a follow-up to my Dadgad book. I wrote a book about the tuning that I use all the time, the Dadgad tuning, D-A-D-G-A-D. And I wrote it way back in 95 when I was mostly playing traditional Irish music. So that's what the book mostly talks about. But I want to do a follow-up book that'll be more about song accompaniment in Dadgad. And then as well, a few people have asked me for my own songs written out, so I'm going to try and do a songbook of my own songs as well. So lots of projects to do next year when I'm not touring.
Excellent. Well, folks, Sarah McQuaid is here live with us on Out of the Woods, and I think we're going to do maybe one more before you have to hit the road.
Yeah. I thought I'd do a song from another album I've been doing. Well, I just did a song from the Mama album just now, but before that I did four songs from Walking Into White, my most recent album, which came out last year. But I thought I'd do a song from my third album, The Plum Tree and the Rose. This is a song that I wrote to comfort myself in times of financial disaster, which I see a lot of being a full-time musician. It's not really a reliable source of income, but I do feel lucky to be able to do this full-time, which I can only do because of the generous UK tax regime, which could all change in the near future. So I really hope that, you know, if I could just get, you know, like an ad, you know, anything, Preparation H, you know, I don't mind anything at all, or a song on a TV show or something like that. But in the meantime, I'm still touring, and it's still lovely to be able to do. And when things get really desperate, I sing this to myself. It's called The Sun Goes On Rising. The wolf at the door, I've seen his face before. He's hungry and I'm tired, can't keep him out much more. And through a chink in the blind, I watch him pace the line. I better step back from the window. He's only biding his time. Spring follows winter, sun follows shower. Things will get better.
Every day.
Sarah McQuaid for you here on Out of the Woods. Beautiful.
Thank you so much, very John. Nice. Thanks so much for having me on your show. It's been really nice. Thank you.
Yeah, I'm glad we finally got a chance to do it.
Yeah, it's taken us a while, hasn't it?
We've talked
about it. You've
been
playing me for ages and ages and ages, you know?
Yeah, that's the first CD, I think, thereabouts.
Pretty much. So thank you so much for all your support over the years. I do appreciate it. It's
my pleasure.
Very good of you. Thank you.
Well, safe travels back home again and all that.
Well, thank you. And I should be back over here, hopefully with a new album, in the autumn of 2018. So if any of your listeners want to be notified when that happens, I've got a mailing list. You can sign up on the website, which again is sarahmcquaid.com, sarahmcquaid.com.
All right, great. All right, well, we'll let you get out of here, and we'll get back to the show in just a moment. We got another quick break to take for station identification. So we'll be right back after this.